And Bhante talks about it he's talked about it on a seminar, and he says you have to avoid, there are two near enemies to this practice. You have to avoid doing it too abstractly. So, you know, you kind of stand back. You do all the reflections and probably do them really well. Lots of detail. If you've got a scientific background, this practice is great. You can go into all sorts of, you know, detail about how things interact and come into being and go out of being and all the rest of it. But you can do that in a way that's too abstract. It's as if you take yourself out of the picture. So it's like you are shining quite a beam of, you know, illumination on how things are, but you're doing it from outside in like a torchlight. It's too abstract. You've left yourself, it's a bit of a cop-out in a certain way, although it can be very engaging. You've kind of left yourself out of it. And the very point is it's about me. No matter how I could go on talking about this interaction of the elements in the outside world, that misses the point. So he says, don't let it become too abstract. There's not enough of oneself in it. And the other near enemy he talks about, is sentimentality. Because you can go the other way and go, oh, it's great, isn't it? And everything interacts and all is one, and I'm in touch with the universe, and it becomes sort of mushy and sentimental, and also misses the point about me. It's about me. He's very kind of adamant that it has to have a cutting edge. And I was leading a six-hour practice at Tarloka a couple of years back, and one of the people on the retreat, it was for women order members, one of the people on the retreat said, oh, I hear Bhante's concerned. He's wondering if perhaps people aren't teaching the six-element practice properly. So that's quite a thing to hear in the middle when you're standing there teaching it. So I phoned him. I went and phoned up. And we missed each other. I couldn't speak to him when I phoned, and he tried phoning back. And every time he tried phoning back, Sadhanandi said, oh, sorry, Bhante, Kulaprabh is in the middle of a double meditation at the moment. So I must admit, I immediately went into eye-making and mind-making because I thought, well, that's good. Because he now knows that I'm doing double meditation. He phoned about three times and he got the same message, you know. Anyway, I phoned back eventually and said, I'd rather come over and talk. And I went over to Majumaloka after the retreat and talked. It was interesting. He'd just been talking to a few people who'd been to see him, and he thought that they didn't really understand that this was a cutting-edge practice, and you have to keep the cutting edge and not go into those sorts of near enemies. It really is about conceit of I. And if we lose that, we lose the point of it. So it's quite a practice, and it can. People also sometimes think it's about death. Well, you do reflect to death at some points in it. It is a way of helping, you know, enter that reflection. But it's not itself about death. It's about life. It's the Buddha saying, things are insubstantial. So, you know, enter into that. Really enter into that. Really take that on board, and then live from it. Take on board that no matter what your empirical, you know, experience of oneself is, that is empirical. And of course, it's not that my sense of self. It's not that I sort of disappear. My sense of self will carry on, but I will no longer be convinced about the substantialness of something that underlies that experience. So the Buddha's saying, enter into that. Really enter into that. Really let yourself, you know, enter into that, awareness, direct awareness, intellectual to begin with, but direct awareness of shunyata, of emptiness, and then live from that. So it's not a practice about dying, it's a practice about living. But without any ego present. So, it asks for a lot.